Tell somebody, God is in charge of this house. We are his people. Have thine own way, Lord. Father, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. Bless this teaching moment, this instructive, reflective, and inspiring moment. In Jesus' name, amen. I need you to stand while we're standing. I want to read in your hearing from the King James Version. There's a lot that I want to do, but I'm constrained right now. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Watch this. And such were some of you. But if I had my way, I would move the period from after you. Replace it with a comma after but. So I would read it like this. And such were some of you, but. You are washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you just heard what I read, you'd be shouting. Such were some of you. Please take your seats. I want to recognize very quickly, Sister Ernie, would you stand if you're here? Sister Lucy is here for sure. Sister Ernie is doing her other duty. Sister Lucy, where are you? Right here. Good. Amen. We were in Dominica last week. We actually left on the Friday and went up and stayed until Monday. And I want to thank this fine lady for doing a tremendous job. She was our chauffeur and I don't know if Tony recognizes what he has, but if you be careless, somebody gonna take that, boy. Because you got a whole lot right there. Amen. She could drive like drive. Amen. I held a few breaks every now and then, but we got there. Thank you, Sister Lucy. Sister Ernie, she is so wonderful. We just had a great time of fellowship. I don't have time to go into that right now, but I'll let you know this. When we got there, it is obvious that Dominica was very devastated, and it's obvious also that they have done tremendous work there. What is even more obvious is that there's a whole lot more work to be done. I commended the church. I told them that we are not here to tell you what to do. We are not here to direct you. I just want to commend Dominica for the fine job they have done as far as restoration. That's the generation of people that I know. We didn't sit by wondering what's going to happen. We got ourselves together and do what needs to be done. Give the Lord praise that there are still people. I want to recognize Sister Dally and her husband. I don't have time to recognize everybody, but I want you to know that God is good. Let me just finally recognize Sister Perkins. She lost her sister and buried her. just about a week or so ago. Shell, we just want you to know that we are with you, and be strong as we stand together. Wow. This is one of the times folks think that I like to talk. There are two reasons why people talk. Some people talk because they want to say something. Others talk because they have something to say. God has given me so much. That's why I talk. Otherwise, I could be very quiet. And to be honest with you right now, I wish I had a choice to just sit. And just absorb this anointing, this sweet spirit that's not only in my heart but in this place. We've been on a journey of grace, and I realize that the audience changes, so I'm not going to take anything for granted. We seek to be today instructive, reflective, and inspiring. Now, most people just like inspiration. They just like to get on a high, and that's all. But every now and then, we need to be instructed, and we need to be reflective. Because if you keep jumping on a high and do not stop to think about how you got there, you can easily take it for granted, so that there is no foundation upon which to bounce back. We need them all. I want to, Minister Janice, one of the problems I have is that there is something radically wrong with the church that Jesus built. The church that Jesus built has changed. We have shifted. Most of us who are members of the body of Christ have become very critical, very condemnatory, very judgmental, and very hypocritical. To the point where nobody wants to be a part of what we call the church today. Most of us parade under religion, have a form of godliness, but have denied the power thereof. We have no connection with God, no real relationship with God. We are always finding fault with everybody. As I said to the folks on yesterday, the only people that condemn sinners are sinners themselves. What we do is that we look for somebody who is obviously and openly doing things that we consider worse than us, so we can focus on them. And in the meanwhile, we can hide behind their fault. Because you see, if I bring your fault in the open, and if I highlight and magnify them, then nobody looks at me. But isn't it a strange thing that the church that Jesus built is comprised of sinners, people who were misfits, dysfunctional, if you will. And yet Jesus called them and said, you are my church. And Peter, that's your name. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Folks are ashamed and afraid because we're always finding something to keep them guilty. We keep reminding each other of what you've done and what you've done and what you've done and where you've been and how bad you are. And God is saying that's the reason that Christ died, because you couldn't bring it together. He died in your place and my place so that he can make us what we ought to be. In the meanwhile, we are on a journey. Tell somebody we're on a journey. Here at King Garment Baptist Church, we are seeking to become three main things, three main aspirations. Forgive me if you heard it, but I need to repeat it because I need to make sure that everybody gets it, and you're going to hear it over and over again. Number one, we're seeking to become a biblically literate church, where from the smallest to the greatest, everybody knows the scriptures, not just by memory, but in practice. So it's not so much how much of the Bible you have, but how much of you the Bible has. Secondly, we are seeking to become a prayer-saturated church where prayer is not an addendum, it is the agenda. In other words, we always, before we go anywhere, go to God and says, God, what is your agenda? Lead me today. But we're also seeking, this is where we are, and I don't want you to miss this. We are seeking to become a grace community of hope. Jesus did not condemn sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. It is so strange, Minister Mitch, how we gloat in John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But what does the 17th verse say? Can anybody help me? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the world is already condemned. The sinner already knows he's a sinner. And what he needs is a way out. I want to think, if I've been beat down all week long at the job or at home or on the street, I want to know there's a place that I can come where I can be lifted. I need to know that folks will not judge me because of what I wear and how I look, but they would see that I am valuable. And just like Jesus told a story of the man who had 100 sheep, he left the 99 back in the fold and went out looking for the one. That's the Bible, and that's the Jesus that we serve. And he says, you are now my disciples. I want to lift up the theme today, but for the grace of God. Tell somebody, but for the grace of God. I want you to get ready. I want you to get ready. I really want you to get ready for what God is doing. If we get it right, if we understand what Jesus Christ is saying, there will not be enough room in this place. We would have to start expanding these balconies. I can see them already. Because people will see that those of us who worship here are just like them, but for the grace of God. Now, I want you to notice, as I give you a quick overview of the text, the Bible is basically saying to us is that the gospel is for sinners. Tell somebody the gospel is for sinners. So why do we have a problem when sinners show up? You see, the gospel is for sinners, and it really doesn't matter what the sinner's agenda is. The gospel has enough power in itself to defend itself. I've known of people who came to church for one reason, and God turned it around. The gospel is for sinners. Now, I want you to look at the list of sinners that are described in this passage. Given the background, it was the city of Corinth to which the apostle was speaking. And Corinth was a place, a great place to reach sinners because they were everywhere. You didn't have to look too hard. Sinners were everywhere. They were notorious. I mean, any kind of sinner. You had choice of sinners. It was a city where lust was king and immorality was common. And if it sounds familiar, it's because life and the world has not changed that much. Have you noticed in our world today, almost every and anything goes? People lie for no reason. People cheat for no reason. Sinners are everywhere. They are everywhere. And if I name a few places, you'll say, yeah, they're there. But I'll let you know they're also in here. In fact, you're sitting next to one, and the one that you're sitting next to is right in you. Sinners are everywhere. But it's just a wonderful thing that not only is the gospel for sinners, but the text also brings out the fact that the gospel changes sinners. If you have somebody that doesn't know how to walk right, talk right, live right, the best place to have them is in church under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's make sure, though, it's the gospel. The gospel meets us where we are, just like in the case of Zacchaeus, Jesus met him where he was. And I want you to understand this. That's how we all here who are saved by grace, the gospel of Jesus met us where we were. Come on, talk to me now. I know you're sitting up in here like everything is fine and you're all that good. And even if you are, you were not always that good. He made the list. And there's some of the people in here that now they're trying to legislate. We don't even preach about. We don't talk about. In fact, they want to get some of these people out of the Bible. Oh, yeah, if they had their way, they will take the word homosexuals out of the scripture. We want to call it alternative lifestyle. But the third thing I want you to notice is not only is the gospel, or the gospel is for sinners and the gospel changes sinners, but what I really want us to see here today is this. D.L. Moody one day looked at a group of people. In fact, he zeroed in on a man who couldn't walk straight to save his life. He was a drunk. And D.L. Moody looked at him the way we should all look at others. And he says, there go I, but for the grace of God. I want you to understand that you are not here today because of some smartness of yours, because of some intelligence of yours, because of some brightness of yours, because of some whatever you think it is. You are here because of the grace of God. Because if the truth be told, you should have been dead. If the truth be told, a lot of us here should have been locked up for the kind of stuff we have done. I should be coming up to
balsam gut to visit you, but the fact is, I would have been there myself. What for the grace of God? The only difference with a lot of them in balsam gut is that they were caught, and some of us were not caught yet. Well, you need to stay with touch what's happening. All this stuff that's coming out of the news is not new news. We know it's been going down a long time. The alarm's been sounding, but nobody wants to tell the truth or accept the truth. But the bottom line is, no matter what you call sin, the effects are the same. You can call cancer what you want, but it'll still eat you out. But here it is. I know we want to shout because all them bad people, they should have been caught, all them policemen, whatever they are, all them politicians, all them preachers, whoever you want to call, all of them, I know they were no good. I know you want to say that, but wait a minute. Stop right there. That's you. And that's me. But for the grace of God. Boy, I would have to run out of here this morning. I'm not going to talk about you because you are good. You always have it together. You always think the right thing, say the right things, do the wrong thing. But some of us here still don't have it together. And if it were possible for a light to go off and really expose everything we are on the screen right back there, and you see exactly who I was, you'll have to leave this church with your head hung down. Before you start pointing your finger, you probably would have to run faster than me. So here's the point that I want to make right now. Check this. Every believer has three things in common. I don't care who you are. You could be pastor, deacon, whoever you are. Every one of us as believers has three things in common. One, we have a common past. Everybody here has a history. And I don't even need to know. Don't tell me. I can tell you your past isn't good. Come on. Say amen, somebody. The only problem is you've been hiding it. You know, it's a tough thing to have sin. That sin itself is bad, but then on top of that, you got to hide it. That's a lot of work. Come on, talk to me now. You have sin, but you're hiding it under the cloak of religion. Good works. So what you do, you sing in the choir. You join some charity group. Why? You're trying to cover up all your sin. I know you don't think that's why you do it, but that's why you do it. You're trying to appease yourself. You're even trying to appease God that maybe if I do enough good, it will cover up all the bad I did. And God says, quit. Tell everybody, we all as Christians have a common past. Now, it may look different, song different, but it's the same. Past. Unrighteous. But not only that, we have a common present. Our present standing with God is the same. Let me tell you this, my brothers and sisters. Your standing with God has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. Your standing, your position with God has all to do with the grace of God. So that when God looks at you presently, as guilty as you are, and listen to me now, we got somebody that's more faithful than any believer that you can ever think about. His name is Satan. Every time we come to present ourselves to God, he is right in the midst. As a matter of fact, the scripture says he is an accuser of the brethren. So every time you're about to go on your knees to God, Satan runs ahead and says, God, he's coming now. Here she comes just this morning. She cussed her husband out. But she got to go up there and sing. Just this morning, he stole somebody's stuff, but he going up on the pulpit to preach. He coming to you. And he find all kinds of things. And you know what's right about it? He is right. We are guilty. You see, there was a time when we could have been accused and found not guilty. But most now, whenever the devil accuses us and whenever others accuse us, most of the times they are right. Here's what your attitude should be when people start telling all your story and all your dirt. What you need to do, if you're honest with yourself, you need to tell them, man, you were really kind to me because I'm a lot worse than that. Thank you. That will blow them out of the water. Because the truth is, no matter how they can describe you, you are so much worse than that. So rather than getting on your high horse, just tell them thank you for being kind. But we have a common present. Because despite the fact that I'm guilty and condemned to hell, he looked beyond my fault, saw my need. I stand before him justified, just as if I've never sinned. So you cannot lay anything to the charge of God's elect. You may call me guilty. I do look guilty. I am guilty. But I have been acquitted through the blood of Jesus. Somebody give him praise. So it's not that I'm better than you. It's that I have a better covering than you do. That covering covers all my sins. You need to understand when Jesus died, he covered not only my past sins, but my present sin and my future sins. If that were not so, he would have to go back and die every time I sin. Tell somebody it's finished. But here's the next thing. We have a common future. There's not a Baptist heaven. There's not a Catholic heaven. There's not an apostolic heaven. There's not a Pentecostal heaven. There is one heaven. We have a common future. Now let me break that down real quick. Listen to what he says. First point. Let's look at the way we were. He says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul offers an unsavory list of sinners. It was a list of immoral people. It was a list of dishonest and unruly people. Not one person on Paul's list was fit for heaven. Not one. And he says, and such were some of you. Every one of us. Sinners. That's who we were. And this journey of grace ought to remind us when we see people in their faults, it's because they have a need. We need to know that that's who we were. That's who we were, but for the grace of God. I want us as believers to stop looking down our noses, get this holy crap out of us, which is false, that we are better than others. That's not holiness. That's hypocrisy. And if Paul needed help, you can help him expand this list. But what you need to notice that is that every category of any sin is mentioned there. Can I point out just one or two? He talks about idolaters. What does that mean? Having other gods. Now, what the Bible says is that you can keep all the others, but if you break one, you're guilty of breaking all. And let me just say this, that everybody has an idol. Something other than the true and living God that they ascribe worship to. Anybody got a new vehicle recently? A new boyfriend? A new house? New job? Or just a makeover?
When you come to worship God, you don't want to, you're trying to hold it down because you don't want anything to smear. So your did, hairdo, is more important than worshiping God. Because you already paid $150 for this, and you're not about to get this messed up. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I know it's getting a little tight in here. Tell somebody he's up my street now. Back off, pastor. Okay, I'll back off. The second thing I want to get out of your face is this. Before we go there, though, it's critical that we understand such were some of us. Heaven-bound saints were once hell-bound sinners. This proves that we are all lost until we are saved. So the question would be, of course, what changes the destiny of those who are lost? And basically, you can only ascribe that to the grace of God that rescues us. But now I want you quickly to examine the way we are. And he says, such were some of you. But now he comes down and he says, but you are washed. What does that mean? First of all, we are made clean by the blood of Jesus. There is something about the hymns of old. Those men and women were in the Word of God. They were not just singing things that sound good and made you feel good. They were biblically, theologically sound. So when they talk about what can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let me say this, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter how deep stained your sin is, the blood of Jesus is powerful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Somebody give God praise in the house. I mean, this blood is so powerful, it reaches down through the generations. It will never lose its power. You could be a murderer. You could be a drunk. You could be an adulterer. It doesn't matter who you are. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. But don't miss this second thing. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that's great. But the second thing, and I'm only going to stay with two for today, is that we are not only, according to Revelation 1 and 5, cleansed by the blood, but according to Ephesians 5 and 26, we are also washed by the water of the Word. Wherewithal shall a young man or any man cleanse his ways by taking heed to the Word of God? My brothers and sisters, if you get saturated by the Word of God, it will keep you from sin. Somebody said a long time ago, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Just the other day, or just this morning really, I told the congregation that I had, it was just about 12 people, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I said, listen, no matter what you need to know, name any subject, and Jesus covered it in the Word. So I tested them. So somebody give me a name. He said, construction. I said, in Matthew, there were two builders who set out a bill. The only difference was that they chose two different foundations. I said, should I go on? He said, no, I got you. Let me just say this with you. Just to show you how the sacred hymns and the Bible were once synchronated. They were in synergy. One night, the pastor, strangely enough, said, now, we're going to have song and testimony. I'm going to give you a word or phrase, and you will then give me a song that goes with it. So, one smart brother in the congregation said, love! Pastor said, love lifted me. He said, that's good, Pastor. That's really good. And then some other people named some other things. And then finally, the pastor says, I want to give you one word, sex. Nobody could find him on that. Finally, a lady in the back, an old lady, she was 90 years old. She got up and said, Pastor, I got a hymn for that. Precious memories. How they linger. How they ever blur my soul. I shared that because I see some of you getting very tense. Listen to me. If you want your ways cleansed, get into the Word. Get into the Word, my brothers and sisters. I want to challenge you. But not only are we washed, notice real quickly, we are also sanctified. That simply means you can get a whole lot of other things for it, but it basically means we are set apart for divine service. I want you as a believer to understand God never intended for you to fit in. Stop trying to fit in. You will always stand out like a square peg in a round hole. That's the way God designed you and me as believers to be different. We are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. It's not you they hate. Get off yourself. You're not that bright. You're not that important. It's the God in you that bothers them. See, they would do things and say things if you weren't there. Because you are there, they got to act right, talk right. At least they try until you turn your back. But some of us have lost or witnessed that we have gotten in the conversation and have become worse than those who started it. We are sanctified. God has a purpose for the life of every believer. And even the trials that we face contribute to God's purpose for our lives. But notice very quickly, we are justified. That is, we are declared righteous. And this is only possible but for the grace of God. So God is just and the justifier of those who believe. Our justification is not by works, but by grace. We are justified by faith in Christ and have peace with God. But finally, before I keep you too long, the way we will be. What's our future like? And I want to flip over now to 1 John chapter 3, as we bring this down. These justified believers or sinners will someday, all of us who are born again, will someday be like Jesus. Now, while here, grace enables us to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when Christ returns, we will be like him. Here's what the writer, John, says. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But one sure thing we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This upward way is all of grace the Holy Spirit gives us in becoming more like Jesus. And even in our trials and temptations, we are guarded by his love. And I conclude with the question, can you find yourself in the list that Paul gives in our text? Are you still there as one he describes as unrighteous? Now, if as a believer you're still finding yourself leaning towards that, something needs to happen. So those of you that are lost, I want to invite you to come to faith in Jesus Christ and be made clean, because God specializes in getting people ready not only for heaven, but also for real life. I want to close with this illustration. I told you something's wrong with the church. the body of Christ. But he's fixing that, and he's changing that. I just want a few volunteers. Can I have real quickly 6 volunteers, real quick? Would you come up on stage with me? Come, quickly. 6, real quick. When I was in Dominica last Sunday, I said to the church, we cannot change the message, but we certainly have got to look at the way we present the message. I want to bring some serious statistics to you as I close as to why in many of our churches, many of our pews are empty. It's not because people don't have a desire, but it's because a lot of us have been stumbling blocks in their way. You see, we can get so comfortable and territorial, because I know, not here, but there are some places, some worship houses, where people have donated pews. And the worst thing, I hope we never come to that, is to give them the authority now to put their name on the pew. Because somehow they think the pew that they donated is theirs. But let's not get funny about it, because we are the same way in some sense. We don't have any names on them, but some of us religiously sit the same place and dare nobody, God forbid, sit in our seat. Man, if you understand the grace of God, you'll be glad when somebody come in. You'll scoop all over, or you'll stand up if you have to. Watch this. There are many studies out there, and I want you to pay attention to this. We've done the reflective, the instructive, and you've had some inspiration. Everybody, just watch this way. Don't be distracted by all the other stuff that may be going on. Don't miss this. We are told that out of every 10, we only have 6 up here, out of every 10 young person that started in church, only 1 remains. Okay? Those of you who've been here 5, 10 years ago, look at the young people that were here. Are they still here? Look at the people that once claimed to know God. Are they still sounding the name of Jesus? So guess what? This young man came to church as a young man. And let me just say this. If you be around church long enough, you will have a church hurt story. Somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. I want you to get this straight. Because you are with sinners. And whenever you're with sinners, you're going to get sin on you. Because it's already in you. So now, he was in church and he had a love. I'm going to make up stuff as I go along to illustrate. But he had a love for playing the drums. Somebody walked up to him and told me, you can't play no drum, you're too loud. In fact, that ungodly thing has no place in church. So guess what? He walked away. Never want to go back to church. And this fine young lady, you should have seen her in her young days. Lovely thing. But somebody broke her heart. It was a boy in church. In fact, he had 2 other girls in church pregnant. He promised them both to marry them, but he didn't marry her. He married the other one, and they went off. Her heart is broken. She never go to church again. Go ahead. Show them that you ain't coming back. And then there's this couple here. Sister Jermaine, can I borrow your husband for a minute? Amen. They married each other. They grew up in church together. They knew each other well, and they decided to get married, and everything was going fine for a while. You know, as a matter of fact, they were about to wait to get married, but the the old people in the church kept pressuring them. Y'all look so good together, so nice together. Y'all need to get married. I can just imagine the wonderful children. Misery likes company. A lot of folks are pressuring you to get married because they're miserable in their marriage. So guess what? After 2 years, they woke up one day and realized they didn't know each other. And so they got divorced, and the church said, well, we can't have you here. Their feelings were hurt because they're young and vibrant, and they went off and never came back. Separate ways. Isn't that beautiful? No, it's not. It's beautiful what they did, but it's not beautiful what's happening. And finally, there's this young upstart. He's an attorney at law. Every time he came to church, the preacher said, I don't have to study. I just open my mouth and God bless. He was just sick and tired of all this nonsense that came from the preacher's mouth. It's obvious that the preacher had not studied. Because when he checked the scriptures, he realized that the preacher was not clear and was not even close to what God was saying. So in his mind, this whole thing about church is fake. It's unreal. So guess what? He went off. Adios, amigo. And he decided he don't want nothing to do with church. Now, hold a minute. Let me show you something that's even worse. Let me show you something that's even worse. Those of you who grew up in my era, we went to Sunday school. We didn't have a choice. You see, a lot of you as parents are giving kids a choice. Children 2, 5, 6 do not have the capacity to make those kind of choices. You don't ask them if they're going to church. We go to church. That's it. So we have now a generation that is unchurched, never been to church, have nothing to fall back on. I guarantee you these young men and young ladies that walked away from God, the Bible has been deposited in them. And no matter how far they roam, the power of God has the ability to bring them back. They have something to fall back on. This young man, he's a pastor's kid. I was going to pick him. I said, God, I'm not going to pick him. Let's see how you work this. Because I had him in mind when I was thinking about this. Ain't it good that he is the one remaining? His story is more real than the others. I made up the others. This one is a little more true to life. I can do this with my family and I can do this with myself. I didn't want to take a risk with somebody else. But this young man grew up in church. His mother and father were always in church. In fact, they brought him to church. He was always exposed to the Word of God, always exposed to the things of God. But like most young people, he went off to college. And he decided he's got to explore the world. Y'all remember Luke 15? Luke 15. If you can understand Luke 15, he did it. Now, I can talk about it because he did already. Amen. I'm not going to do the graphic details. I'm just going to stay general. But if you understand Luke 15 with the prodigal son, whatever he did times. But God, through his parents, and by the way, it was not just his parents, but it was like a whole community. The church surrounded them in prayer. The church surrounded them in prayer. So he's got a lot of people to thank for depositing so many great things in his life. Let's give the Lord praise for people who understand. At least I keep you too long. Let me just zero in. He's straight. Can I tell him you drank? And he's not even a fish, but he drank like a fish. Can I tell him you're cuss? We didn't teach you none of them words. But it goes on and on, and it goes on and on, and it goes on and on. But one day, like in the case of the prodigal son, his daddy got a call. Guess who's on the other line? Mitch. What's going down?
went around the bush. Then finally, the bottom fell out. I said, tell me what it's about. I said, now you're talking. How much is it going to take? Come home. Let me just say this. Church, every one of us here this morning, please listen carefully. You have always, as a church, corporately or individually, have always got to have the mindset where your children know that no matter what they do, no matter how far they roam, they can always come back home. I didn't need to know all the details. I didn't need to know just how much, when. Come home. Today, after God has touched him and brought him back, he was not only ordained as the minister of the gospel. That's a good place to praise God here. Okay, I need some teleprompter up here. Applause. Since some of you are so asleep. He got married to a beautiful wife who's been pursuing him and vice versa. She waited 9 years or more. How many years? She's so much into the story, she didn't even hear me when I said that. She's like, who are you talking about? Okay. And on the story goes. And then he got hooked up with mentoring young people, working with the juvenile court and all that. God's just been taking him to higher heights. And just last year, 2015, God inspired his pastor, which happens to be his father, to have the theme on Fiend Faith. That young man took that seriously. Quit his 9-to-5 job. That's crazy. And say, God, I trust you. Now, if you wanted this story, you can log on. I'll give you the address later on. But and now today, he sits in the House of Assembly today as the youngest onlyest. I got to rhyme, you know what I'm saying? I can't just say youngest and only. Onlyest. Amen. Ordained minister. Now, there have been lay preachers like H.L. Stout, P.B. Letson, and the list goes on. But never an ordained minister. Where does he come from? A little place called Cane Garden Bay. Who nurtured him? You. All of you. And now he's given back. But I have a newsflash for you all. This is just the beginning of where God, and I say this prophetically, where God is taking him. Let me just say this. Parents, the greatest gift you can give to your child is the gift of grace. Let me just say, expose your children to the gospel. Expose them to the word of God. I want you to know, you can give them $1 million. You can give them all your inheritance. There is nothing that will change their lives or make them rich in living like the gospel of Jesus Christ. So stop telling them you don't want them to grow up the way you did. Oh, you spent time on your knees and God answers your prayer. They need to know that life is not going to hand you everything. Even if you can afford it, let them understand you got to earn your bread. Some of us have spoiled our children. Teach them responsibility. And even if they stray, they will not depart from it. This is the kind of church that God is raising. This is what a community, a grace community of hope looks like. That no matter how badly you fell, no matter how low you sunk, We are here for you.